regardless of the weather. Believe me, there's going to be a nicer weather eventually. But tomorrow, God is good. God is good. Hey, listen, I'm really excited for this coming week. If you can, on Friday, we'll be remembering the sacrifice of our Lord. We want to partake of communion. Please come, invite somebody. I believe the Lord wants to reveal his love, save people. Let's invite family members and friends, and let's believe that on Friday we are going to encounter the love of God as we are going to be remembering his sacrifice to us. Amen. So on Sunday, we are at a meeting of at least 5 people that can help us to set up. If you have the time to come a little bit earlier, around 8, we need some help. We want to have our breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30, so we will be here setting up around 8. Please, if you are willing, have the time, talk to Dana. She is running with all the logistics and organization, so she can know who is coming to help. Praise the Lord. Also, I want to remind you, we have signed a contract for our retreat coming up on July. We have the information about prices and things like that. So if you have questions, I want you please to reserve the date. I believe the Lord is going to release a new anointing and something fresh as we come together to seek him. The place is nice. There's a lot of fun things to do, and we are planning to do a lot of fun things. So just be aware of that. So you set the date apart. You can invite people, your neighbors, your friends, because something that we are wanting to do is to use every event, anything that we do here, as a door to invite people, those who need to encounter the love of God. And so we are wanting to use life groups and events, the men's and women's events, to invite people. Amen. We are believing in our meeting yesterday of the leaders that we have to have a hired outward approach, looking to bring the harvest in. Amen? Amen. Are you guys ready for a powerful anointing word? Listen, I'm not going to take responsibility of what the Holy Spirit is going to do today. But I believe he has something really fresh and powerful that he wants to release. But not from me. I'm not preaching to date. But I just have the always the desire to empower people and to see them embrace their call. And especially when I see the process that somebody has taken, you know, following the Lord. So I believe that today we're going to have the privilege to see somebody that I have known for a few years since he started saying yes to the Lord and to, you know, keep walking and ascending. And I have seen that process of God working in his life. And so I believe that today he's going to step into a new season for him and for what the Lord wants to do. So I want us to welcome our very own Corey Andres to bring the word, a powerful word. Praise the Lord for his life. And we have been serving together for a few years. And as I say, I have witnessed the beginning of him leading worship. But I believe that also part of his call is to bring revelation through the word and to the teaching. And so I'm so honored to introduce you. And he is going to be used by God in a mighty way. Amen. Take it away, brother.
All right. Hi, how's it going? First, I really do just want to thank Pastor Victor for giving me the opportunity. There's not many pastors that I know that are so willing to empower their people to step in and to use their gifts. Amen. And I just want to give him a hand right now. Yeah. Because he's not building this ministry based off of one man's gifting and one man's anointing, right? Amen. And that's how the Church of God is going to operate in the last days, is every single person empowered in their anointing doing the work of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. So this is not about one man. This is about one man. It's just not someone who's standing right here. His name's Jesus. So in the topic of worship, the Lord has been teaching me just a ton, especially over the last few months, humbling me and just showing me just how much this is not about me up here, you know. Music, ministry, life in general is just a ministry to God. It's just a ministry to God. He gave us so much purpose, and I'm getting ahead of myself right now, but he gave us so much purpose to be able to access his heart and move him in a way that no other creation can do. And it's such an honor to minister to him. That's what I'm going to be talking about. But first, as I was praying into preparing, I just felt the Lord lay this on my heart. He said, tell you guys how honored I am when they approach me with a heart of faith. When we come here, either together or when we're worshiping the Lord in our personal times, when we're alone with him, when we actually approach him in faith of who he really is, of the things that it says about him in Scripture, the things like he has eyes of fire, and how intense that is, how focused he is, laser focused in love, in intense love for us. When we approach him like that, when we approach him like he's the one who's sitting on the throne, he's the King of Kings. When we come with that humble heart and with the protocol that Pastor Victor has been talking about of, I'm approaching a king. I want to position my heart rightly in that. When we come with that heart of faith, the honor that it brings to him and the joy that's in his heart. It's not just he's checking off boxes of, okay, they did it. They did what I wanted them to do. He's actually moved like a parent who sees their kid obeying and serving. Or when they see their kid looking up at them just with joy to see them. That's how God feels about you. When you approach him with a heart of faith, with a heart of, I just want to connect with who you really are. Who I really am, really connecting with who you really are. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's start this off. We're talking about worship today. I want to focus us in. I thought a good place to start was Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. Let's put that up. All right. I will bless the Lord sometimes. Yeah, the message just... That's right. His praise is going to be in my mouth every Sunday if I make it on time to church. Sorry. I'm guilty. And you guys, thank you for coming, by the way. I know a lot of people have said that up here, but on a snowy day like today out of nowhere in April, thank you for coming. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just here, when we come together, not just corporately, not just when you feel like it. Amen. But continually, his praise will be in my mouth. And we're going to, Pastor Victor has been talking about thanks, praise, and worship. I'm going to cover all three of those things from a slightly different perspective today. But that praise, that declaring the works of God, the things about him that he's done, the way that he's displayed who he is through the things that he's doing in our lives, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to remind myself of everything that God is doing, no matter what. Amen? My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And this is the one I really wanted to focus in on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It was really cool. At Monday night prayer, Pastor Victor started talking about the word magnify. Mercy was singing, be magnified, be magnified. And it was just laid on his heart to talk about the word magnified, to actually look close at something and to see it for what it really is. So that's like the microscope view, but there's also the telescope view of being able to see, like you look in a telescope, you see a planet from far off, and that thing is enormous. It's way bigger than you. It's bigger than this planet, most of them out there. All the stars that you see in the distance are so huge, but actually when you look at them just with your naked eye, it's tiny. But the reality of what they actually are isn't seen until you magnify them. Until you take the conscious effort, until you look through something to actually see it for what it really is, and you're humbled when you realize, wow, here I am on this floating rock and I'm so small. But that's what magnify the Lord is. There's so many different lenses to look at that through. This is something that God had laid on my heart even before he had said that on Monday. I thought it was a really cool confirmation that this is where he wanted us to start. But God's glory is like the light of the sun. It's covering every part of the earth at all times. Well, half the day, you know. I mean, at nighttime it's not shining. But the sun is shining and it's spreading its rays over the entire earth. Just like that, God's glory is actually revealed in all of creation, it says in Romans, that it's clearly evident who he is based on what we see in creation. You can look at any part of creation. You can look at this air duct over here. You can look at these light bulbs, and you can look at your human heart, and you can see an aspect of God's glory everywhere in all of creation. It's present right now. You're just maybe not aware of it. You're maybe just not focusing in on it. What worship does, it's like a magnifying glass. This is the image he showed me. It takes those rays of the sun, it takes that potential energy, the potential revelation of God's glory that's present everywhere in all the earth at all times. It takes that and it concentrates it into a specific place at a specific time, and it causes a fire to break out because it concentrates that. It brings about that potential energy into real heat, and it releases something. God wants to bring about revelation at all times. He wants to reveal his glory in all the earth, but he wants to do it so much of the time through people who are going to worship him, who are going to declare things about him and give him an avenue to bring that revelation. So God wants to start fires across all the earth. It's in his heart at all times. He always wants people to know about his glory. Some people may think like, oh, God just wants people to glorify him all the time. That's so conceited, you know. But no, it's not conceited at all. Do you realize the fact that he made us is so generous? Because he was completely, completely satisfied in who he is, in love, the Trinity. We know this is foundation of who God is, our understanding of him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit completely satisfied in love with each other. They don't need anything, but God in his love, God in his generosity said, I want to make a creation that can see into my heart and enjoy this with me. Enjoy my love. Enjoy who I am. I want to reveal my glory. I want to make something that can enjoy me. That's really good. That's not like our self-promotion. That's not our understanding of lifting ourselves up and glorifying ourselves. No, he is totally different. It's a generosity that he wants to do that. He's waiting for the originally intended expression of his glory that he invested in you when he made you, when he dreamed of you. He's waiting for that revelation of his glory to be revealed in you. Not just on a Sunday. Not just here while we're standing here worshiping. All the time. All the time. What's the expression of your heart when you stand in awe of God? When you just think about him, when you're on your drive to work, or when you're you single, or not single moms, you moms, when you're sitting around and your kids are taking a nap and you have an opportunity just to think about God and just dwell on who he is, what is the expression that comes out of your heart that no one else can bring when you just are in awe of God? What is that expression? That's worship. It's why you were made. It's your very purpose. It transcends all of the American dream. It transcends all that this world tells you that your purpose in life is. It transcends every other purpose. It transcends every desire that you have. It's why it's at the core of who you are. The people on this stage are not the only worshipers in the room. You are worshipers. And like I said, at all times, our only job up here really is to facilitate a corporate expression of what you guys are made to be doing every day. We're not supposed to come here and just be like, okay, I guess got to get warmed up and start praising God now because I'm standing here and I guess he's worthy, so okay. And maybe 20 minutes into it, I'm dialed in and connecting with him, right? I know, it's hard. It's hard to come here on a Sunday morning and to be dialed in with him. But that's the ideal thing, is that we would come here together, that we'd already have been praising and honoring God and fixing our mind on him, proclaiming who he is throughout our week, in our intimate times with him, in every situation, so that when we come here, it's already a well-oiled machine and we're just ready to go. Because we're entering into our purpose, not just on a Sunday. Amen. You are always a worshiper. Just get this one thing right in your life. Learn to direct your praise, your thanksgiving, and your worship to God in every situation. Everything else is going to work out. Because when you get that one thing right in your life, when you get your purpose right in your life, everything else is going to work out. So many problems happen when we just get off focus. When you are trying to fly to Hawaii, but the angle of what you're focusing on, your plane is focusing on, is off, you're not going to arrive in the right place. So you have to reorient. We're constantly reorienting our lives in worship to the destination. So worship is your eternal purpose. Like I've been saying, there's a lot of things that God wants us to do on this earth. And I think that sometimes we get that really out of order. Your purpose is not just to preach the gospel. Is he a heretic? What is he saying? No, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's a very good thing. But here's what John Piper says, and I love this. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Did you catch that? It's not the ultimate goal of the church. It is a goal. It is a purpose of God in this world. Missions is not the ultimate goal. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. There are people across the ocean that have never heard the gospel, and they don't have the opportunity to enter into the purpose that God put into them because they don't know Jesus. They haven't been redeemed unto God. They haven't actually been reconnected to the Father's heart. And they don't know how to honor him in spirit and in truth. And that's a tragedy, because that's why they were made. That's such a waste of the potential of who they are and what they were made to do in God, in honoring him, in knowing him, in loving him, in pouring out praise to him. So you know what we're going to be doing for all of eternity? We're not gonna be on these platforms that we've raised up for ourselves in this life. We're not gonna, nothing of what we've done to raise ourselves up in this life or pursue like a great business career, or promote yourself forward is gonna be relevant at all in that day. You're gonna be standing on a sea of glass and you're gonna be looking at one man. That sea of glass is completely flat. Nobody's up here. Nobody's down here. You're standing on the same level as everybody else, and you're just looking at him. That's your eternal purpose. You're going to be lifting up praises to him. You're going to be enjoying him forever. I say that missions is going to happen when we worship God and we really connect with who he really is. When we're really connecting with our eternal purpose, and then we're going to get this revelation of, oh my goodness, other people aren't experiencing this. Other people aren't entering into this. Other people don't see the Lamb who's on the throne and actually know who he is. That's terrible. I want to go tell them. I want to go tell them about the story of Jesus. That's your ultimate purpose, is to worship. Okay, I wrote down three main intentions in God's heart. He has so many intentions for who you are, but these are just three I want to highlight, mainly the third one. He wanted relationship with you. We hear that a lot, and that's amazing. The fact that God wants to know us, the fact that he wants to love us, right? That's awesome. He wanted to give love to you. He wanted to make a creation that would receive his love. He wanted to express himself through you. He wanted to, like an artist, express something about his nature and actually paint you and your life. And an artist that makes a song, what do they want to communicate? There's always a purpose of what they want to communicate. That's why they write. They don't just write for the heck of it. Maybe some pop singers do. But but if you're an artist who's worth your salt, you're writing for a purpose. You have something in mind of what you're shooting for. You don't just want to, you know, that's what God has made you for. He wants to express something about his glory through you. But this is the main one that I want to emphasize today. One of your main purposes of why God made you. And it's really sad because I really didn't dial into this at all. I'm still on this journey of dialing into this, and I really didn't dial into this at all until like the past few months, and it's changing my entire perspective on everything. This is such a huge purpose of why you were made. It was to minister to God in his entirety. To everything that God is, you're like a puzzle piece meant to fit right into his heart and minister to him. We're talking about worship. We're talking about magnifying God. We're talking about lifting him up, you know, fixing our gaze on him, declaring things about who he is. But I think it's so easy to forget his emotions and how this is about him. You know, we talk about that like, this is about you, God. This is for you. But do we really connect with why he even wants it in the first place? Do we really connect with, like, how we were made to actually move his heart? Do we really connect with he had an intention and a desire, and he wanted to receive love and adoration, and he wanted someone who would recognize how he feels about something and actually speak to that? That's why you were made. Angels can't do that. Nothing else in creation can do that. It's an honor. It's a privilege, the fact that we get to minister to the very heart of God. And I just really appreciated how Emily opened up the service today. Just, we're here to minister to God. Let's not just make that just a buzzword, ministry to God. You know, let's come, when we come here and when we're alone, let's come to him and let's say, I want to minister to God. I want to minister to his emotions. I want to enter into what he's feeling, and I want him to feel honored the way I position my heart. So we're going to look at what ministry to the Lord looks like. And this is what Pastor Victor's been saying. Thanksgiving, praise, worship. Three categories that really help me to focus in my mind and focus in the way that I'm directing my words to minister to the Lord. Worship is not confined to words only, but words are so powerful. Oh my goodness. If God has put his image in you, and if his words were able to instantly make light, and that very image is in you, if God's words in his mouth are just as powerful as God's words in your mouth, then I want to talk about how do we direct those words? How do we bring our thanks? How do we bring our praise? How do we bring our worship? Amen. So Thanksgiving, let's start there. Let's bring up Psalm 100, verse 4, classic verse on Thanksgiving. So it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." It's an admonition to you of when you're entering into that place of honoring God, it's a great place to start with thanks. Do it with thanks. You know, I think that a lot of times, just in church culture, like we start off prayers like corporately or on our own, like, "Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for another day." You know, like, that's good. But honestly, I think that if we come to that place of giving thanks, like, I guess I'm supposed to enter his gates with thanksgiving, so I'm just going to do this. It's kind of a formality, but I don't know. It's what I'm supposed to do, right? You know, instead of when we approach him, entering his gates with thanksgiving, really what that means is recognizing that everything that I have, I didn't earn it. It's from you. It's actually a gift from you. That's why it's such a great place to start, because it totally transforms your perspective right from the get-go, right from the gate. Awesome. It transforms your perspective because instantly I'm not here earning my way to God's throne. Amen. Instantly, I'm thinking, it was the blood of the Lamb that got me there. It was the gift of God that I'm in relationship with him. It wasn't anything that I did. Thanksgiving, it positions our hearts to say, "God, thank you. Thank you that I'm able to enter into this." It totally, here we go. So a parent loves to give gifts to their children, right? Yeah, they love to see that look on their face when they open up that thing that they've been asking for. They're like, "Ah!" Like when they finally get it. It's this exciting moment. I've got a lot of nieces and a nephew, and it's just so fun. It's way more fun to see them open up gifts than it is to receive one. You know, awesome that people want to give me something, but oh, it's so fun. Because they're so excited. Like, we were just at one of my niece's birthday parties just like a week or two ago. And she's running around hugging everyone for all the gifts that they would give. Like, just beaming with joy, you know, that they would give it. Like, "Mom, this is the thing that I wanted," you know. Like, we love to see that. There's a reason that we give gifts to kids. Because it's really fulfilling to give a gift, isn't it? But really not when your kid is just like, "Oh, I wanted the blue one." Really the opposite of fulfilling when that happens. Like, "Do you realize I gave birth to you?" I'm never going to get, yeah. Anyway. But he just wants us to be grateful for the gifts that he gives, because that's so fulfilling to him. I'm talking about ministry to God, ministry to his emotions. So let's start here with thanksgiving. Ministry with thanksgiving to God is so fulfilling to him, because he's just like a parent, just like, "I'm so glad they got that. It's so fun to see them enjoy this thing," you know. Which, by the way, don't be the kind of person that says, "Oh, thank you, God. I mean, I don't deserve this thing. I just like this religious thing. I hate this thing. That's like, I don't deserve to have this thing, so I'm just going to slightly enjoy it. I'm not going to appreciate it because I'm a sinner, because I don't deserve." No, no, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. He loves to see you enjoy it. When you've been praying into something, rejoice. Tell your friends. Thank God. Don't just debase yourself in that way. He hates to see that. Oh, we're going to break off a religious spirit. Come on. Come on. Oh, amen. And just like a kid, they're not fulfilled in receiving something unless they give the thanks, right? It's one of the most tragic things to see a kid that is growing up and becomes an adult who's entitled and thinks that they deserve it just because of who they are, right? It's so unfulfilling, and it's such a depressing way to live. I mean, like, when you give thanks for something and you realize you totally didn't deserve it, you're so happy. When you have that perspective in receiving things from God, you're going to be really, really happy. Do you realize that God has designed you in giving thanks to be a recipient of his blessing like nothing else in creation, and to just turn back to him and say thank you? That's who you are. You're a receiver of blessing. I don't want you to think that, that I don't deserve the blessings of God. I'm not going to pray into that thing that I want because I don't deserve that thing. No, that is totally misinterpreting the goodness of God. We want to pray into the things that we desire. We want to pray into gifts that we want to receive from the Lord. And we receive those blessings, and he's so fulfilled in giving it to us, and we're so fulfilled in giving him thanks. So good. When we get into his design for how things were supposed to work, when we don't log jam God's blessings by looking at ourselves and our own failings, man, the grace is going to flow. Man, the blessings are going to flow. It's going to be fun. Who knows what he's going to give us next? Yeah. So you're fulfilled when you give him thanks. Your life is going to be so out of whack if you don't, though. Yeah. You're gonna go to two different extremes if you're not anchoring yourself in thanksgiving. You're going to go to either entitlement, like I was talking about, or you're going to go to an independence that says, I can earn something. I can, by my own sheer might, I'm going to be a self-made man. And I'm going to get what I want. Instead of recognizing that every step of the way was a blessing from God. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for that promotion. Oh, it anchors us in who he is. Oh, it reminds us just that it wasn't because I did anything special. It's because God is good. Maybe I acted on the grace that God gave me. Maybe I was able to rise up above and beyond all my coworkers, but I know that was God's favor on my life that did that. Right? That's what thanks anchors you in. All right, so let's talk about praise. So praise is declaring what God has done and celebrating him, right? We've been talking about this, and this is why we pattern our services the way that we do. Do you see how thanksgiving transforms your perspective and puts you in a position where you're ready to start worshiping God? Praise is doing the same thing. There's a reason that we're designing our services this way. There's a reason that we pick the songs with the words that we do, so that we're going in this ascension. We're fixing our eyes on who God is, what God has done, so that we can enter into that. I'm skipping ahead, but so that we can enter into that worship that's meeting with him face to face and declaring who he is. So it's important that this is how we do our services, you know? I don't want to set this up as some religious standard of, like, everything has to be done just so, but there is a protocol that is really effective for us meeting with God, and that honors him, and that meets all the things that he's wanted us to do. So let's do it. Yeah, so let's talk about praise, declaring what God has done. I want to go to Psalm 67. The Lord put this on my heart just this morning. I love this psalm. And this kind of goes back to receiving blessings from God and that being part of the purpose of why we were made. So here we go, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And here we go. So God be gracious to us. God shine the light of your face on us. We want that. We desire it. We need it. We're fulfilled in you doing that. Here's verse 2. Unto what end? That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Do you realize that you receiving blessings from God is actually his design to reveal himself to all the nations? Come on. I want to be blessed. When I'm recognizing that God has blessed me, when I'm honoring him publicly, or when I'm just living a life that it's so apparent that everything that that guy got is because God loves him, that's going to bring nations to salvation. Nations to salvation. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Do you see the progression? May God bless us that they may see who he is and they may praise him. Come on. Let the nation, verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Love these last few verses too. 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. So out of his abundance, he's pouring it out. It's coming to the people of God. And verse 7, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. I love it. I love it. So we're going to celebrate him in our personal lives. We're going to celebrate him here. We're going to give testimony of all the good things that God has done. We're going to let the fruit of our lips be praise. And that's going to bring people to salvation. That's going to bring people that know nothing about God to say, he's so good. I see it in their life. That can be in my life too. Amen. Amen. So that's in the same train of thought as thanksgiving. Praise is recognizing what God has done. Part of God's intention, and again, we're talking about ministering to his emotions, ministering to his desires. He wants to amaze us. Oh, he wants to amaze us. He wants to feel amazing. Just let that sink in. When we are neglecting to praise God for what he has done in our life, we're neglecting to give him that feeling of amazement that he intended to receive from us when he created us. I want to do that. And here's why. So, I was listening to a podcast. It was perfect timing. It was just this week. It was talking about a new study that actually came out about having a sense of awe, like awesome awe. Science actually has shown, they basically separated out people who statistically are living in a sense of awe regularly versus people that aren't. And let me tell you that your phone rarely is going to give you a sense of awe. I think that's part of the strategy of the enemy, is to just keep us distracted with monotony and things that are just like yesterday. I've seen it. You know? I've seen your avocado toast before. Just another day. No, but when we're regularly living in a sense of awe, science is showing that you're more happy, that you have a more of a sense of your own smallness, more of a sense of your own interconnectivity with all the things that are going on around you, more of an interconnectivity with other people. It opens you up to relationships. And I would submit that coming from a Christian perspective, it shows you, it makes you realize your purpose in the grander story of God, having a sense of awe. Woo! Yeah, that is awesome. Here's a great one. We think that humility comes from basically like the monks of old. They would like whip themselves. They would wear all these uncomfortable clothes, and they would just bring themselves so low. They would punish themselves for their sin. And no, that's not real humility. I'm sorry. Humility comes from a sense of wonder and awe. It's when you realize you're so small, when you're fixing your attention, when you're directing your praises to God, when you're letting the words, when you're letting the fruit of your lips flow and actually declare what God has done. When you actually think about God, you split the Red Sea. I've seen the pictures from like Sunday school of when you did that. But when I actually like picture that in my mind and when I declare that you destroyed the enemies of your people, wow, that's really cool. That just changes my perspective. It gets my eyes totally off of me. And it makes me humble through seeing God's amazing power. In that same scientific study, they said that other people rated those people that are regularly in a sense of awe as more humble. Yeah. So you may rate yourself as really humble, but it really is apparent when other people rate you that way that you're truly walking it out. Yeah. So see how when you enter into the purposes of God for you, when you enter into the design of God for you, that's what we're talking about when we talk about praise and worship. When you're entering into that, so many other things line up. Do you struggle with pride? Start focusing on aspects of God that you've never focused on before. Start declaring from the stories of the Bible, these are the things that you did. Start recognizing the things that have happened in your life and how it was a provision from God. It'll humble you. Amen. So much is going to line up when we get this stuff. So look at Hebrews 13:15. This was one that Pastor Victor was sharing, and I just thought it was so good. It says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. It's a sacrifice of praise to God. You won't feel it most of the time. It's very, very rare that I just have something amazing happen to me, that I have the best day, and just all of a sudden I want to overflow with praise to God. No, most of the time your heart is going to be cold unless you're continually doing this, unless you're making this a sacrifice, unless you're purposing in your heart, I am going to praise God today. This is why I was made. He's worth it. I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. And the feelings are going to follow, I promise. The feelings of joy, the sense of awe and wonder, the remembrance of how good God is going to follow when you let your words speak about who he is. Amen. And that's so moving to his heart, especially when it's a bigger sacrifice. Amen. All right. So we've talked about thanks and praise. Let's talk about worship. Whew. Oh, we love this. Sometimes we try to skip to this really fast, though. We try to start like a service with worship of speaking to God, like about who he is and the situations in our life and declaring things. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we shouldn't. It's much, much easier. It's way more along the design of God for how you're supposed to operate by entering into thanks, entering into praise, and then coming here. Once you've positioned your heart like you're approaching a king, once you've positioned your heart like, I don't deserve this right now, and I'm receiving this as a gift, now let's declare who God is. It's going to be so helpful if we come with that mentality in mind. I'm trying to empower you to become worshipers here on Sunday. I'm trying to empower you to become a worshiper in your workplace. I'm trying to empower you to become a worshiper in your free time. Come on. It's going to be so good. So worship, declaring who God is, declaring about his nature, declaring things that are in the deep part of his heart that he's revealed to us. Something in his heart just loves when you just declare with your mouth who he is back to him. When you're staring face to face and you say, God, you are faithful. God, you are so kind. God, you are so worthy of praise. You are full of love. When you just think on those things, when you declare it to him, oh, here we go. Okay. So something is going to break. Something is going to change when you do that. Mark my words that when you really enter in, like I was talking about at the beginning, with a heart of faith, when you enter into the place of worship, something is going to change. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if your situation is going to change. I don't know if your circumstances are suddenly going to flip on their head and turn out for the better for you. I don't know if you're going to have to grit your teeth and continue to praise him until you come into a sense of freedom and you see him, and suddenly your attitude about the situation changes and you're able to better face it. I don't know, but something is going to change. Something is going to change when you really truly worship. When you focus instead of on the situation itself, on your own weakness in the situation, when you fix your eyes on God's ability, when you think about who he is and how able he is to change any situation, when you think about the great purpose for which you were made and you're just fixed on this God who's amazing, something's going to shift. Something's going to shift. God is wanting to move in the earth, like I was saying, talking about that magnifying glass. God is wanting to break out fires on the earth. God is wanting to shift things in our workplaces, in our government. But he's waiting for somebody to catch on to what he wants to reveal about himself, what he wants to reveal about his nature, and speak it over that situation. We talk a lot about words of faith, moving in faith and making declarations, but let's refocus on this. We're not just declaring things into the air that we feel like should happen. We're declaring over our situations who God is, and we're telling our situation, and we're declaring to God's face what he's like. That's our word of faith. That's what we're declaring. And when we're fixed on that, we take that potential energy like the sun and we focus it in, and it's going to move something. It's going to move something. Let's look at Hezekiah. I love his story. Really quick. So the Assyrians had sent this messenger, and they said, just give up now because the armies are coming and you guys are going to just get smoked. This guy is there. He's declaring in the language of Judah so that everyone can hear this, try to strike fear into their hearts. But suddenly they get diverted, and there's another army that's attacking. And so this messenger, he sends back a letter to Hezekiah, and he says, don't think that this is God delivering you. Don't you deceive yourself into thinking that. I'm coming back here and we're going to still crush you guys. So Hezekiah is coming in that situation. Here's what happens. 2 Kings 19, verses 14 through 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned. Here we go. This is him worshiping. This is him declaring who God is. The God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Basically, in the situation that he's in, the context that he's in, think about it. It's a king who's trying to conquer all the known world. He's trying to expand his kingdom, and he's coming against the kingdom of God's people. And so what he's doing is he's refocusing his mind, and he's worshiping and declaring about God that he is the king of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are in charge of Assyria, God. I don't care what this messenger is saying. I don't care what kind of fear he's trying to strike into my heart. I remember that you are the king. See, he's directly saying a contradiction to what the circumstance is telling him. That's an amazing way to worship. And that's exactly what we don't feel like doing. But that's what really is going to shift something. Anyway, you've made heaven and earth. Verse 16, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. But so I don't want you to think that you can't bring your problems to God. That's actually a really good thing to do when you're in the place of worship, though. If you start from the perspective of, God, these are my problems, you're not going to get that far. It's going to be way harder to pray through the issues. when you come honoring God for who he is, it's going to give you the perspective that you need to bring your issue to God. It's going to give you the perspective that you need, and it's already going to have brought a revelation of God's glory into the situation so that you're viewing it completely differently. Amen. And here's where it gets awesome. Verse 19. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. What was he saying? He wasn't saying so that we can be safe, so that we can be comfortable again. No. No. He was realizing that this part of his story, this issue in his life, this difficult thing that he needs to overcome, that he can't do in his own strength, is actually God's opportunity to reveal his glory to the nations. Somebody needs to hear that today. Your testimony of overcoming your issue right now is an opportunity for God's glory. Look at it from that perspective. When you're going to worship God over the situation, when you're going to realign your heart with, it's about him. This story, this issue, the story around it is about him. And I'm going to praise him. And we know how the story ends. The angel of the Lord strikes down 185,000 Assyrians while they sleep. Did Hezekiah do anything? Well, he did, but it was very, very not like what the angel of the Lord did. All he did was he positioned his heart in worship. That's how we fight our battles. That's how God fights on our side. When we're not trying to formulate a plan of how do we attack this issue that we have going on right now in our church? How am I going to go about this difficult relationship with my boss? Instead of getting all these strategies, getting all the human wisdom that we can get, let's sit down and let's just worship God over the situation and let's see him fight on our behalf. It's what he always wants to do. It's his heart for you to deliver you. But God moves when things are in alignment. Because he wants to reveal his glory. Like I was saying, it's so generous of him to want to reveal his glory. How good it is that he wants to give you a testimony of what his glory was able to do in your life. Amen. 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 Let's just pray. God, we're just so thankful that you've made us your ministers. That you've made us a people who's able to receive blessing from you, recognize it, and just give you praise, Lord. It's so fulfilling to see your works in all of heaven and earth. It's so fulfilling to declare who you are and get to see your beauty and just speak it back to you, God. It's so fulfilling to thank you for every good thing in our life. You're so good to us. Thank you for this ministry, God. I pray that every single one of us would see ourselves as ministers unto God in every situation. Lord, I pray that you'd realign our perspective. And when we're in the car, when we're dealing with a difficult situation, when we least feel like it, we'd position our hearts with thanks. We position our hearts with praise, and we'd move to worship you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray you'd let us enter into our purpose. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. You guys are dismissed. We're going to spend some time worshiping now, though, if you'd like to stay. We're going to sing "To Worship You, I Live." It's the reason we were made. Amen.